Hi, good morning. Today's daf is Sukkah, daf Mem Aleph. We left off Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph. At the top of the Amud, we got to three lines down on Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph. Today, she was sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. Today, we are just going to first finish up the conversation that we've been engaged in for the past few days about Shvius. And yesterday, specifically, we spoke about how one transfers Kedusha Shvius onto another item. We learned that it's not really a transfer because what happens with Shvius is that both of the items, both the original Perish Shvius plus whatever you flip the Kedusha onto, retain a level of Kedusha, retain a status of Kedusha. We're going to talk about, we saw yesterday the Machlokas, whether it has to be Derech Mekach Umemkar, whether it could also be Derech Chilul, whether it could only be through a purchase and sale transaction, or whether it could also be through a regular transfer, like we find by Hektish. That's going to take us until the Mishnah. The Mishnah in the middle of Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph, is going to tell us about how many days one has to perform the mitzvah of lulav, the distinction between the Mikdash and Medina, between the Mikdash and outside the base of Mikdash, and the famous Takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We're going to learn a little bit about the timing for the hopeful rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, when that might take place in terms of during the day versus at night versus close to sunset. Then the Mishnah on Mem Aleph Amud Beis is going to talk about something that's foreign to us because we don't do it anymore, but the procedure for taking the lulav on Shabbos. So nowadays, when Sukkot coincides with Shabbos, as we know, we don't take the lulav, nor do we blow shofar, for example, when the Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. But in the Zman HaMikdash, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they would take the lulav on Shabbos. But there was a special procedure, because obviously you couldn't have people carrying their lulavim to the Beis HaMikdash or to their local Orthodox synagogues, and therefore there was a special procedure. The Mishnah and the ensuing Gemara is going to tell us about what they did. So we left off again, three lines from the top of the Amud on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, and says the Gemara, so Amar Ravashi, says Ravashi, Machlokas, the Machlokas that we saw yesterday, what Machlokas are we talking about? We're talking about the Machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan, where Rabbi Lazar said that Shvius is only Mischalelas Derek Mekach Memkar, that you can only transfer Kedusha of Shvius onto something else through a purchase and sale transaction, whereas Rabbi Yochanan said, no, it could be Bein Derech Mekach Memkar, Bein Derech Chilul. You could also do it by way of a regular transfer, what we would consider to be a pidyon, a redemption of Ektish, as opposed to simply a purchase and sale transaction. So Rav Yochanan was the one who was more lenient. We saw yesterday they both had basis in psukim. All right, we're not going to cover that again. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, Machlokes bepri rishon. The Machlokes is bepri rishon, meaning with the Perus Shvius itself, that Rabbi Lezer says that you have to do it, that the only way to transfer the Kedusha Shvius onto something else is through a purchase and sale transaction. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan would say, no, it doesn't have to be through a purchase and sale. It could also be Derech Chilul. Aval bipri sheni, however, but by pri sheni means, says Rashi, the Dmei Shvius, meaning that which you transfer the Kedusha onto. So in other words, let's say you have Perish Shvius, and then you buy Perish Shvius. And now the money that you get in exchange for buying Perish Shvius also has the money that the seller gets in exchange for selling Perish Shvius also has Kedusha Shvius. So how do you get rid of that Kedusha Shvius? Does it have to be Derech Mekach Memkar, or does it have to be Derech Chilul? So the Machlokas that we saw in the Gemara between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan is only Legabe Pre-Rishon. It's only Legabe the Perish Shvius themselves. Aval B'Pri-Sheni, but with the secondary Kedusha, meaning the money, that which the Kedusha of Shvius was already transferred to, Divrei HaKol Bein Derech Mekach, Bein Derech Chilul. Everybody will agree with the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan that you could transfer subsequently both by way of Derech Mekach Memkar and by way of Chilul, by way of regular Pidyon. But we had a brisa yesterday that the Gemara is now going to make reference to. We had a brisa yesterday about a guy, Lokach B'Perish Shvius Basar, that the guy had Perish Shvius and then he bought meat with it. Elav Elam is Barim B'Shvius. What we said is they both have Kedusha Shvius. Lokach B'Basar Dagim. Then he bought fish and then he bought wine and then he bought Shemen. So over here we have the transfer of a lot of the Kedusha Shvius onto many items. there are many subsequent transfers. So in other words, there are many things that the Gemara would call pre-sheni, yet that Braisa kept saying, lakach, 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 so it's mashma, that the Gemara was being particular, and that the Braisa was requiring a lakach, a derech mekach memkar, and not simply a derech hilal. So says the Gemara, v'adiktani, lakach, lakach. I, in the Braisa yesterday, it keeps saying, lakach bedame, lakach bepere, lakach bepere's basar, lakach bedogim, lakach yayin, lakach shemen. So I did this on a racial lakach, tana nami seifa lakach. So the Gemara is not being specific. The Gemara doesn't mean to imply that the only way you could transfer is through derech mekach, but because the first transfer unambiguously has to be b'derech mekach, because the first time you're transferring the kedusha from the peros, which is pre-rishon, onto the pre-sheni, since that has to be b'derech mekach, so every subsequent transfer is also stated in the lashon of lakach as well, but it's lav dafka. Says the Gemara now, Eisfei Ravina l'Ravashi. So Ravina asks a question to Ravashi. Mi sheyeshlo sela shel shvius, if a person has a sela shel shvius, a coin which has shvius sanctity. Now, a coin is not shvius, right? So the only way that the coin has shvius sanctity is if you already transferred kedusha shvius onto the coin. So the coin is the pre-sheni. So if a person has a pre-sheni, let's call it. So a person has sela shel shvius, a pre-sheni, ubikesh likach bo choluk, and he wants to buy clothing with the money of shvius. What's the problem with buying clothing with money of shvius? So you already saw yesterday, one of the criteria of, or one of the terms of use, if you will, of shvius is that it has to be used for personal immediate consumption. It can't be saved for later use. And that restriction, that limitation applies not only to the perish shvius, but also to whatever you transfer the kedusha of the perish shvius onto. So it turns out that if you're going to buy something with money that has shemitah, that has shvius sanctity, it's got to be something that's going to be consumed immediately. The problem is clothing doesn't wear out immediately. So you could buy a shirt this year and you could wear it next year. You could buy a coat and you could wear it for 10 years. So what are you supposed to do? You have to get rid of the shemitah sanctity somehow. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to buy the shirt that you want to buy. So Mishayesh Lo Solo Shashviyas, if you have the pre-sheni, ubikesh likach bochaluk, and you want to buy clothing, ketzad yasa, so what should you do? Says the Gemara, sayelech etzel chen v'ni aragaletzlo, you should go to a storekeeper who you know well, because if you don't know him well, then he's not going to engage in this little ruse with you. V'yomer lo, and he says to him, Tain li besela peros. He says to the storekeeper, do me a favor. I want to buy, let's say a sela is a dollar. I want to buy a dollar's worth of peros. Good. Venosein lo. So the storekeeper now gives the guy peros in exchange for the dollar. V'chozer v'yomer. And then he says to the storekeeper, Hare peros alolo nesunu lecha b'matana. Oh, you know what? I've just bought this bag of apples from you, but I don't need the bag of apples. I'm going to give the apples back to you, storekeeper, as a matana. Who amar lo, and the storekeeper says, oh, halach sela zuba matana. If you're going to give me back the apples, I'm going to give you back the dollar that you had given me. And now the guy could buy whatever he wants to buy. However, the peros, Rashi points out, the peros now have kedusha shvius. So basically what you've done is you've done this weird non-transaction transaction. So you have this money that has kedusha. So you go do a fake purchase. You go buy peros with the money, and then you swap the peros for the money again. But once you swap the peros for the money again, the kedusha doesn't travel back to the money. So you transfer the kedusha from the money to the peros. Great. Now you have your money back. So says the Gemara, but Vahacha, but over here in this case, the pre-sheniu, we're talking about pre-sheni. How do we know we're talking about pre-sheni? Because we're talking about where you have a sela of shvius. Again, the sela doesn't grow from the earth. Therefore, it obviously got the kedusha shvius because you transfer kedusha shvius onto it. And what are we suggesting? We're suggesting that the way to transfer the kedusha onto something else is not derech hilul, but it's you have to go to the storekeeper and you have to engage in this sham transaction, this purchase and sale transaction. Because it says lokach. So says the Gemara. So Ella Amar Ravashi. So says Ravashi, you know what? You're right that by pre-sheni there is a mandiyamar who says that that we do require a purchase and sale transaction in order to transfer Kedusha even from the pre-sheni. Rashi points out that if you were able to transfer the Kedusha derech Hillel and not derech Mecha Chomemkar, you wouldn't need to find the storekeeper and you wouldn't have to engage in the whole ruse, because derech Hillel just means you're allowed to effectuate a transfer among two items that are already in your possession. So you could say for yourself, oh, you know what? This money has Kedusha Shvias, rather. I'm transferring the Kedusha Shvias onto whatever Peiris I have in my house. I don't have to find this other counterparty to be facing me in this sham transaction. So says the Gemara, you're right. Ela Maravashi Machlokas Paprisheni. The Machlokas that we saw yesterday between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan was only by a Prisheni. Aval but by the Perish Vias themselves, Divrei Akol Derech Mekachin Derech Hillelo. Everybody will agree that the Kedusha can only be transferred Derech Mekach and not Derech Hillel. Ay, Vadaktani Echad Shvias Vechad Meiser Sheni. Ay, but it says, don't we have another brisa, the brisa that we saw yesterday in support of the Shita of Rav Yochanan, that Echad Shvias Vechad Meiser Sheni Mischalel, that was the word that the brisa concluded with, but that our Gemara leaves out, that both Shvias and Meiser Sheni is Mischalel, meaning it could be transferred, but Chilul is the word that we use for pidyon and not the word that we use for derech mekach umemkar. So don't we see that shvias can be mischalel, that you don't need mekach umemkar? Says the Gemara, so my shvias, what does it mean when we say shvias? Dmei shvias. It means dmei shvias, the prisheni. So this brisa in Echanami is going like a Ryokhanan, who says that the prisheni could be transferred through chilul and not through derech mekach umemkar specifically alone. Because if you don't say that, so meiser mamish. So does meiser really mean? Meiser? Vaksiv v'tzarto akesef biyadecha. But the whole parsha of chilul by meiser is talking about that you bring the money up to Yerushalayim, and then you have to use the meiser sheni money in Yerushalayim. Ela demei meiser, achanami demei shvias. So perforce, by definition, when we're talking about chilul by meiser, we're talking about being mechalel the kedusha from the money onto whatever other food you're buying in Yerushalayim. And then you're doing whatever you're doing with the food. You have to eat that food in Yerushalayim. So by definition, when we're talking about Meiser, we're not talking about the pre-Rishon, because the whole concept of Chilul and Mos, Meiser Sheni, again, Meiser is something that grows from the ground. You can't have money that's Meiser. How do you have money that's Meiser Sheni? Because you already transferred the Kedusha onto the money. So we're talking about pre-Sheni. So just like by Meiser, we're talking about pre-Sheni. So too by Shvias, we're talking about pre-Sheni. Oh, this price is like Rav Yochanan, who says that pre-Sheni can be transferred through both Derech Chilul and Derech Mekach Umemkar. All right, enough about Shvias. So on to Sukkot-related topics. So says the Mishnah as follows. Barishona Hayalulav Nitol B'miktash Shiva. That at first the lulav was taken up in the Beis HaMikdash for all 7 days of Yontif, because at first the Rabbanon, and we're going to see this in the following Mishnah, at first the Rabbanon weren't gozer on lulav on Shabbos in the Mikdash, and therefore they would take the lulav all 7 days of Yontif. It wasn't like we do today, only 6 days because we have a Shabbos, but they would take the lulav all 7 days. Ube Medina Yom Echad, but Midaraisa, the halacha of taking lulav in Medina outside the Beis HaMikdash was only for 1 day. So Mishachara Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskan Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, so Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was Mesakein, as the rabbi always says, he was one of the heroes of the post-Korban period, because he enacted so many takanos, so that we should remember the Beis HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was afraid that people would forget that in the Zman HaMikdash, they would actually take the lulav for 7 days. So what did he do? So he was Mesakein Shayalulav Nitol B'Medina Shiva, that the lulav should be taken up in the Medina for all 7 days, Zecher LaMikdash, Vishaye Yom Anef Kulo Asur, and also on the 16th of Nisan, when they would bring the Korban Omer, that Chadash would be Asur all day, because Chadash, the Omer was Matir Chadash, but you would never know, and we'll see in the Gemara what the reason for the Takana is. So usually Chadash becomes Mutter when the Korban Omer is brought. Korban Omer is obviously only brought when there's a Beis HaMikdash. So when there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's a question, when should Chadash become Mutter? Does it become Mutter immediately upon daybreak? Does it become Mutter only at the end of the day? So we'll see why Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai made the Takana that he made. But anyway, he has these he has these two takanos. So says Tosfos over here, there's an interesting Tosfos halfway down, Shei Yomanev Kula Aser, says Tosfos, Harbi Takonos Tikin Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Well, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, again, he was one of the heroes of the post-Korban period because he made so many Takonos. So why is it saying, oh, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai was Mesakin that they would take Lulav 7 days in the Medina, and Yomanev Kula Aser. So I understand, all right, so let's say he made 100 takanas. So here we're learning Maseches Sukkah, so we're learning Hilchas Lulav. So in the context of learning Hilchas Lulav, you're going to teach me the takana that has to do with Lulav. But what does the takana of Chadash and the Korban Omer have to do with anything here? So says Tosfos, Harbe takanas tikin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Elahanak tarti tikin yachad, lochi tani yacha yomanef agav grara. He was Mesakin both these takanas on the same day. So in other words, he was misaking them as a package, and therefore when we're referencing the takana about Lulav, we're going to reference also the takana about the Korban Omer. But v'teima d'benachos perak Rabbi Yishmael lo tani hanach to Lulav agav ahu d'yomaneif. But in Meseches Menachos, where we're actually learning the sugya of the Korban Omer, and we talk about the takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, about the Yomanev Kula Aser, we don't add in as a throwaway, oh, and he was also misaking the takana of Lulav. And also, Meseches Rosh Hashanah, where it's all a non sequitur, because we're not learning about Lulav and we're not learning about Korban Omer, the Gemara references these two takanas of Yochanan ben Zakkai plus other takanas. So Tosfos is bothered. How come specifically we mention these two? How come we mention these two takanos? Of course, in the Mishnah, when we had said that, and the rabbi just spoke about this a couple of days before he left for this week, so we're not going to repeat everything that he said, but there is a debate as to what exactly Mikdash means, whether it's the Mikdash alone, whether it's the entire Old City of Yerushalayim, and as a result, there is a debate as to whether if one performed the mitzvah of Lulav already outside the Old City, and then he finds himself in the Old City, whether you should take up Lulav again, because there may be a mitzvah d'oraisa to take Lulav all 7 days, and let's say on the second day of the first day of Chol HaMoed or any day of Chol HaMoed, if you already took Lulav outside of Yerushalayim or in Yerushalayim but outside the Old City, then you find yourself in the Old City, you may be able to perform a mitzvah d'oraisa, which you had only performed on a d'rabbanan level previously, because outside of the Beis HaMikdash or outside the Old City of Jerusalem, the mitzvah of Lulav is only midrabbanan for all 7 days, but it's midaraisa inside the confines of the Mikdash, which again may include the Old City according to the Shita of the Rambam. Says the Gemara. So we have in the Mishnah the idea of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai being misakein a takana of Zecher LeMikdash. So says the Gemara, basic question, Minala davdinan zecher lemikdash. How do we know that we make takana zecher lemikdash? So I'm Rav Yochanan, Amar Kra, ki ale arucha lecha, that I will make a cure for you, umimakosecha erpecha, and I will heal you from your illness, niyum Hashem, ki nidche karulach tzion hi doresh einla. So this is the key part of the pasuk. Tzion hi doresh einla, that it's Tzion, it doesn't have anybody inquiring after its welfare. Doresh einla mechlal deboy drisha. From the fact that the pasuk says doresh einla, it's mashma that there is a requirement to be doresh after the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, we have to pine after the Beis HaMikdash. We have to hearken to the days when we had the Beis HaMikdash. In Maseches Baba Basra, the Gemara brings down a minig that we would put a fermakle on the Rosh of a Chassan. We would put ashes on the head of a Chassan. And also that you have to leave over an Amma by Amma space from a new binyan because of Zecher HaMikdash. However, over there in Maseches Baba Basra, the Gemara quotes the pasuk of Imlo Ales Yushalayim Al Rosh Simchasi. So it's interesting that there were two Makoros. Over there, the Gemara says, Im La'ales Yushalayim. Over here, the Gemara says, Tzioni Doresh Einla. And the Rav Soloveitchik has the famous Chakira, that there were two dinim over here. One din is Zecher LeMikdash, and one din is Zecher LeChurban. Over here, the Gemara is talking about Zecher, LeMikdash, and that's why it says Tzioni Doresh Einla. Over there, we're talking about not remembering the Beis HaMikdash, but remembering the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore the Gemara is going to quote the Pasuk of Imlo Ales Yushalayim Al Rosh Simchasi. The Achronim get into a tumult over here. How come after we perform the mitzvah of lulav. If the mitzvah of lulav is now performed for 7 days because of zecher lamikdash, how come we don't start saying harachmans and yiratzons like we do by sfiras omer? By sfiras omer, we say harachman and yachzalona avodas v'samikdash b'mkoma beherem b'mina meinsela. Even those who don't say all the yiratzons say that pasuk. So the question is, why don't we say that? Why don't we say that over here? So the answer that some of the achronim give is because by sfiras omer we don't have any remnant of the din d'oraisa of sfiras Omer. However, by lulav, there is at least a mitzvah d'oraisa for 1 day of lulav, and therefore, yes, even though the 7 days is a zecher lamikdash, at least we're able to perform the mitzvah on a d'oraisa level today. Unlike by sfiras omer, where there is no ability to perform the mitzvah d'oraisa at all. Okay, so we had two takanos of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in our Mishnah. The first was about lulav and taking lulav all 7 days for zecher lamikdash. The second is about Yom HaNeif, that on the day of the Karban Omer, on the 16th day of Nisan, Chodesh is going to be Yasser all day. Says the Gemara, my time, what's the reason for this takana? So answers the Gemara, Meheri Yibane Beis HaMikdash, so may the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt speedily in our day, the Yomru, and they're going to say, Yishtake Milo Achalnu Beheir Mizrach, if you're going to say that Chodesh becomes Mutter on the morning, on sunrise of the 16th of Nisan, they're going to remember, last year when there was no Beis HaMikdash, Chodesh was Mutter immediately. Hashanami Nechal, so let us also eat Chodesh again early in the morning. Ve'inu lo yadi, and they won't realize, Yishtake, that the last year, the law of Beis HaMikdash, Heir Mizrach Keter, that when there wasn't a Beis HaMikdash, when there was no bringing of the Korban Omer, the daybreak on the 16th was Matir Chadash. Hashta Dika Beis HaMikdash, however, now that there is a Beis HaMikdash, Omer Matir, the Hakrava, so Omer is what's Matir, and they're not going to know that you have to wait until the Korban Omer is brought. So that's why came Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai and said, you know what? Call Yom HaNeif Kula Asur. It's Asur the entire day of the 16th, and therefore the next year, hopefully when the Beis HaMikdash is brought, people will be conditioned not to eat Chodesh until the end of the day. By the end of the day, we know that the Korban Omer is going to be brought. So good. So they'll be allowed to eat. So they will be allowed to eat Chodesh. Says the Gemara, the Ivni Amos, when is the Beis HaMikdash going to be rebuilt that we're afraid that they're not going to bring the Korban Omer early in the day? Ilema Divni Beshitzar. If you want to say that it's built on the 16th, maybe it's built on the 16th of Nisan itself, but Arei Hitter Heir Mizrach. But if without the Beis HaMikdash, the Omer becomes Mutter at daybreak on the 16th, so if it's built on the 16th, at daybreak of the 16th, there was no Beis HaMikdash, Korban Omer, the Chodesh would have been Mutter already, so you won't have a problem. Ela de'ivni b'chamisar. Now we're afraid maybe it's going to be built on the 15th. Mechatzos ayom ulahalon, after Chatzos. So I'm sorry, b'ivni b'chamisar. So it's going to be built on the 15th, so on Yontif. So says the Gemara, mechatzos ayom ulahalon tishri, but then it's enough to aser chodesh only for the first part of the day. Why? Because we know that certainly by Chatzos, they're going to get their act together in the Beis HaMikdash, and they're going to have brought the Korban Omer. Datanan, harachokim utarim mechatzos ayom ulahalon lafisha ein based in misatzlim bo, because Beis Din doesn't get lazy. When it comes to bringing the Korban Omer, we know that they are going to bring the Korban Omer early in the day. Says the Gemara, lo tzricha de'ivni b'leila. No, what we're afraid of is that it is built at night, meaning on the night of the 16th, before the day of the 16th, inami samach l'shkia sachama. Or maybe we're afraid it's going to be built on the 15th, close to shkias Hachama. So says Rashi over here. So it's about 7-8 lines from the bottom. So Lotzricha Divni Belela. So Klomar Lashemi Yibane Belela Chayish. Maybe it's going to be built on the night of the 16th. V'lo ye pnuyim litzor omer at samach liyom. And they're not going to have time because of all the excitement of the Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt. They're not going to have time to cut the omer until close to daybreak. V'yish torach arbe be omer. And it's a very long process. Shayim yavshino, so you would have to dry it out. Be'ava shel kaloyim. V'tsovrenoso sheyazuvu meimav. You have to dry it out and you have to wring it from all moisture. V'tokhlenoso mbrechayim shel groso. Semanifenoso be'yugim olnapa. You have to grind it. You have to sift it 13 times. Begasa v'daka k'damina nasam v'zeh shelo yochlu l'zazik v'metchilas layla l'yaspiku l'akrivo l'machar kodem chatzos. And because the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt at night, they're not going to have time to get their act together with the Korban Omer immediately in the morning. Therefore, they're not going to be able to have it done by chatzos. And then says Rashi, Inema Devni Bechamesar, Samach L'Shkiyah Sachama. Maybe it's going to be built on the 15th, which is Pesach, close to Shkiyah. Vehi, and it's the same concern that they're not going to have time to get their act together with the Korban Omer. V'kasha, Debalayla in Anivna, and if you want to ask me a kasha, says Rashi. And Tosfos quotes this whole Rashi, so we won't read the Tosfos inside because we're pressed for time. But says Rashi, if you can ask me a kasha, Debalayla in Anivna, that the Beis HaMikdash can't be built at night. The Kaimelam Beshvuas, they in Binyan Beis HaMikdash Belayla, that there is no Binyan Beis HaMikdash at night. It says from this is by the Mishkan, Uviyom Hakim is Mishkan, and the Beis HaMikdash is likened to the Mishkan, Velo B'chamesar, and it can't be built on the 15th, through Yontif, because it's a Yontif. The Kaimelam Beshvuas, they in Binyan Beis HaMikdash Docha Yontif, that the Binyan Beis HaMikdash is not Docha Yontif. Hani Mili Binyan Abonu Bidei Adam. That's only a Binyan which is built by people. Avo mikdash ha'asid shanim etzapim banoi umeshuchlal hu. However, the Beis HaMikdash that we're waiting for now is already built. It's up in Shemayim. V'yavo mishamayim shenemar mikdash Hashem konanu yadacha. Because it's called Mikdash Hashem, and therefore, if you're wondering how could the Gemara suggest that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built at night, that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built on Yontif, that's only us. We can't build the Beis HaMikdash at night or on Yontif. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's already built, and it's just going to come down. Good, so that's why Rav Yochanan Mezakeh had to be Mesakein that Yom HaNev Kulasar, because we're afraid that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt at a time where they're not going to be able to bring the Korban Omer until later in the day. People are going to remember last year we ate Chadash at the beginning of the day, and they're going to jump the gun. They're going to eat Chadash too early. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mezakai, Beshitas, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mezakai, Beshitas Rav Yehuda Amri, he is going in the Shita of Rav Yehuda, the Amar Minatorah Hu Asur, who says that Chodesh is Asur Minatorah. Dechsev Ad Etzem Ayom Hazeh, because the Pasuk says that Chodesh is Asur Ad Etzem Ayom Hazeh, Ad Itzumo Shel Yom, and Ad Etzem Hayom Hazeh means Ad Itzumo Shel Yom, meaning the Kol Hayom, says Rashi, the entire day is called Etzem Hayom Hazeh. V'ksover Ad V'ad Bechlal, and he says, if it says Ad Etzem Hayom Hazeh, it means until the entire day has passed, because he darshins Ad V'ad Bechlal. So, and we're talking, and so, okay, so good, and so Ad V'ad Bechlal. So it says the Gemara, Umi Sover Le Kavaseh, but does Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai hold of Rav Yehuda v'maflik paligaleh? But he argues on him. Ditnan mishachara beis hamikdash, when the beis hamikdash was destroyed, hiskin Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai sheyamanev kulaser. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was mesakein that yomanev kulaser, that chadash is aser the entire day. Now, if you're darshening the pasuk that ad etzem yom hazeh means chadash is aser the entire day of the 16th of Nisan, I don't need Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai to make a gzera that Chodesh is Asur the entire 16th of Nisan, because the Pasuk tells me it's a Daraisa. So says the Gemara, Amar lo Rav Yehuda, this is the conversation now, V'alom en HaToru Asur, D'ksiv Ad Etzem HaYom HaZeh, Ad Itzum HaShol Yom. So Rav Yehuda Dukatoi, Rav Yehuda made a mistake. Husavra Midrabbanan Kamar, he thought that when Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Hiskin Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, it means that he was making a new Takana Midrabbanan, but that's not what Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was doing. V'lohi midaraisa kamar. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was saying over what the halacha is on a daraisa level, that midaraisa, it's usur all day. How could you tell me that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is talking about a daraisa level, v'hiskin kamar? Doesn't it say hiskin Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is mashma, he made a takana, which is the takana derabanan? So my hiskin, darash v'hiskin, what it means is he was darshan the pasuk and was misakein. In other words, he darshan the pasuk like Rav Yehuda did of ad v'ad bechlal, and then it was misakein because in other words, when the Beis HaMikdash was built, when the Beis HaMikdash was built, they became accustomed to eating chadash after chatzos because it so happened that the Korban Omer was always brought by chatzos. However, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and there was no longer a Korban Omer, he had to remind the population what the halacha min HaTorah was. And the din d'oraisa was that it's usur all day because of the drasha of Rav Yehuda ad etzem hayom hazeh. So it doesn't mean that he made a new din d'rabanan. It means that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and we went back to darshaning the pasuk, he reminded everybody that the drasha of the pasuk was that chadash was usur for the entire day. Okay, says the Gemara, Says the next Mishnah, rather. So Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Shechalios B'Shabbos. So you have the first day of Yom Tov, which falls out on Shabbos. And again, we don't do this nowadays anymore because we don't take the lulav on Shabbos. But in the Zman HaMikdash, they did. So Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Shechalios B'Shabbos Kol Ha'am Molichenes Lulavein LeBeis HaKnesses. Everybody would bring their lulavim to the Beis HaKnesses. In other words, this is talking about the Zman HaMikdash before the Gzeira that we don't take lulav on Shabbos. Everybody would bring their lulavim to the Beis HaKnesses before Shabbos because they couldn't carry it on Shabbos. L'machras, the next day, Mashkim Nubon, Kol Echad Ve'echad, Mashkim Nubon, Kol Echad Ve'echad Makare Shelo, everybody would get to the Beis HaKnesses early. Everybody would then find his own lulav, Benotlo, and he would make sure to take his own lulav. Why would they have to find their own? Why couldn't they take anyone? Says the Mishnah, Mnesha Amru Chachamim, Einodam Yotzei Dechavosu, B'yom Tafrishon, B'lulav HaShel Chaveiro. Because a person is not Yotzei the Mitzvah, and Yom Tov Rishon with a lulav of his friend, because it says, Ulukachtem Lachem, that you have to use your own. B'shar Yimos HaChag, Adam Yotzei Dechavosu, B'lulav HaShel Chaveiro. However, on other days of Yom Tov, not including the first day, a person can be Yotzei the Mitzvah of lulav with the lulav of his friend. Rav Yossi Omer, Rav Yossi says, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Shechalios B'Shabbes, V'shokach Votzi Yasa Lulav V'Shus Arabim. Let's say it's Yom Tov, which falls out on Shabbos. You forgot to bring your lulav to shul before Shabbos. So now you go out and you're every so often during on a regular sukkah, you see somebody holding a lulav. So he forgot that it's Shabbos and he walks into it. This is not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim anyway, but okay. So he goes into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim with his lulav. Ah, he's carrying on Shabbos. Potter. Why? Because he was motzi it with rishus. What does it mean? He was motzi it with rishus. I thought the takana was that you had to bring it before Shabbos. Nobody gave him permission to carry on Shabbos. What it means is he was torah b'mitzvah. In other words, he was trying to cut the guy a break. He was trying to perform a mitzvah. Honest mistake. He forgot to bring it before Shabbos. And therefore, he's going to get a pass. He's going to get a pass if he's not going to get a punishment if he brought his lulav out on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, how do we know that everybody takes a lulav and that everybody has to take his own lulav? Says the Gemara, minani mili, how do we know this? The Tana Rabbanon, ulakachtem, shetei lakicha biyad kol echad ve'echad. That the lakicha has to be done by everybody individually. Tosva says over here a famous diuk, midlokse v'lokachta lashon yachid, from the fact that it doesn't say lokachta as a lashon yachid, because lokachta means the representative body of the Knesset Yisrael. Who's the representative body of Knesset Yisrael? That's the Beis Din. When it says lokachta v'safarta, that's Beis Din. Ulakachtem is kol echad vecha. That means everybody. I, by Sukkos, it doesn't say v'yashav tem. So by Sukkos, where's the directive for each and every person in Klal Yisrael to sit in Sukkah? V'gabik Sukkah lok siv kra dach siv kol ezrach. Because by Sukkos, it already says kol ezrach v'yisrael yeshvu basukkos. So I wouldn't have a havamina that only Beis Din has to sit in Sukkah. So I already know that everybody has to sit in Sukkah. But anyway, back in the Gemara, how do I know that everybody's got to take a lulav? Because it says l'kachtem lashon rabim shetei l'kicha l'kol echad v'echad. Lachem, Mishalachem, it has to be yours. Lotzi es hashol v'es hagozol, to exclude a borrowed or a stolen lulav. Mikanum ruchachamim, from here the chachamim say, Hein adam yotzi yidei chavosu b'yam tov rishon shel chag b'lulavo shel chaveiro ele imkein lasulo b'matana. That a person is only yotza the mitzvah with a lulav belonging to someone else on the first day of Yom Tov, unless the person gave him the lulav unless the person gave him the lulav bimatana. And Tosfos over here points out that just like you're not able to be yotze with the lulav of a friend, you're also not able to be yotze with the esrog or lulav shel shutfin, because if it's a partnership, if it's a jointly owned lulav or esrog, then it's also not yours. Says Tosfos, what about the practice, which we don't have nowadays, because now we all have our own dalamina, but what about the practice in the old days, where they would buy once at a dalaminim and everybody would pass it around? Doesn't the tzibur own that? So he says, yeah, the tzibur owns that, but everybody would then give over their chelek to the person who was shaking the lulav and esrog, and they basically did a matana al menas lahachzer, which is what the Gemara is going to elaborate on right now. So says the Gemara, Maisa, and here's the Maisa. Maisa, Rav Gamliel, Rav Yeshua, Rav Elazar, Rav Nazariah, Rav Akiva, Shayabam, Bisfina. They were on a boat. These rabbis are always on a boat together. Veloya, Lulav, Ella, Rav Gamliel, Bevad. They only had one Lulav. It was Rav Gamliel's. Shalachu, Be'elef, Zuz. He paid $1,000 for his Dalaminim. Notlu Rav Gamliel v'yotzebo. So Rav Gamliel took up his lulav and esrog and was yotze the mitzvah. V'nosel Rav Yeshua v'matana. Then he gave it to Rav Yeshua v'matana. Notlu Rav Yeshua v'yotzebo. Rav Yeshua was yotze the mitzvah. V'nosel Rav Elazar ben Azariah v'matana. He then gave it to Rav Elazar ben Azariah v'matana. Notlu Rav Elazar ben Azariah v'yotzebo. V'nosel v'matana l'Rav Akiva. Notlu Rav Akiva v'yotzebo. V'echziru l'Rav Gamliel. And he then returned it to Rav Gamliel. So lamali l'meimar echziru. Why does it say that he returned it to Rav Gamliel? The whole point that you're teaching me over here in the Gemara is that Imatana Almanas Lahachzir is considered to be Imatana. So all that I need to know is that Rav Yochanan gave it to the Rav Gamliel, rather gave it to the other rabbis, and each rabbi gave it to the next one. So they all gave it Imatana Almanas Lahachzir. But giving it back to Rav Gamliel, who was already Yotza the Mitzvah, that's not necessary to teach me anything. So says the Gemara, no, because Milsa Gavurcha Kamash Malan. The Matana Amanas Lahachzir, Shema Matana. This is where we learn from that a Matana Amanas Lahachzir is considered to be a Matana. Tosfos over here says that usually if it's a Matana Amanas Lahachzir, it's like you're making a tnai with a Matana, that I'm giving this to you, but Matana only on the condition that you give it back to me. Says Tosfos, there's a lot of complicated halachas about tanai. It's got to be a tanai kafol, and it's got to be the tanai kodem lamaisa. But and how come the Gemara doesn't explicate all that? Okay, because this is not the sugya of tanai. But what we're trying to talk about is matana al menas lahachzir. Good. So says the Gemara, ki al damarava helecha esrog ze al menasha tachzureli. If here's the esrog on the condition that you give it back to me and you can perform the mitzvah with it, notla v'yatza bo echziro yatza. If you fulfill the tanai and you return the esrog to its proper owner, then you're yotze. Lo echziro lo yatza. If you're going to flake on the tanai and you're not going to fulfill it, then you're not going to be yotze the mitzvah because it turns out the matana's bottle. Says the Gemara, lamali lamemar shlokh bel of zuz. Of what relevance is the fact that Rav Gamliel paid $1,000 for his dalaminim to the story? Say Rav Gamliel was the only one who had the dalaminim, and he gave it to the other rabbis. So ladiach hakama mitzvahs chaviven aleim. No, it's a musar because it teaches us how dear they held mitzvahs that he was willing to spend even $1,000 on his set of dalaminim. Says the Gemara, Amar le mar bar amemar l'ravashi. Abba tzluyi kamatzli bay. Abba used to hold so dear the mitzvah of lulav that he would hold it while davening. So Meisvei, how could he hold the lulav when he was davening? Lo yochaz adam tefillin biyado. A person's not allowed to hold tefillin in his hand, sefer Torah becheiko, or hold a sefer Torah v'yispalel and daven, because his mind is going to be on what he's holding, and he's not going to have kavan on his tefillah. And also v'lo yashem emayim. If you're holding tefillin or a sefer Torah, you're not allowed to urinate. V'lo yishem behem, and you're not allowed to sleep in them. V'lo shinas keva, v'lo shinas aray. Neither a cat nap nor a real sleep. V'yamer Shmuel, and Shmuel says sakin akara, that a knife, a plate, kika ramo, sare lukiyotse, or anything, if you're holding it, you're not allowed to daven. The chiddush is that even though these are not dvarim shebikdusha, I might think, therefore, that a person is not going to be so mindful of them, kamash malon. No, if a person is holding a knife, he's going to be mindful that the knife doesn't fall and stab himself in the foot. So the bottom line is, how is he able to daven holding the lulav? I thought you're not supposed to hold anything when you daven. Says the Gemara, hasam lav over there, what he's doing is not a mitzvah, and therefore he's going to be tarid. He's going to be thinking about it. Over here, he's doing a mitzvah, and he's not going to be tarid with it. In other words, it's part of the performance of the mitzvah, and therefore, it's not going to bother him. It's not going to interfere with his davening. There's also a halacha that lulav has a din of ritzui. In other words, that lulav is actually part of the tefillah. It's an accessory to tefillah because what we're doing with an anuim, we learned a couple of days ago on the daf molech umevi malo morid. It's got something to do within the context of davening. And therefore it's actually part of the service. So therefore, there is a difference between holding lulav while davening, where you're making it like part of the tefillah, and stam holding something else, which is going to detract from the kavana that you're able to have while davening. So we'll stop here. We'll pick up with another maisa about the Anshei Yerushalayim and how they used to carry their lulavim around all day, God willing, tomorrow. Hope everybody has a great day.